content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 10th through Sunday, March 16th, 2025. The commentary for the month of March was written by Tyler Richards, an Episcopal priest serving at St. Anne's Episcopal Church in De Pere, Wisconsin. He's also an avid birder, vocalist, and gardener. He enjoys spending free time with his wife and his beautiful daughters, usually somewhere in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. We begin the commentary on Monday, March 10th, which is the day that we recognize Harriet Ross Tubman. It starts with the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 10. Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Here's the commentary for this day. Being a prophet requires more than simply being disruptive. True prophets alert us to our disobedience and lead us into repentance, reconciliation, and a deeper relationship with God. Today, the church remembers Harriet Tubman. In the way that only a prophet can do, Harriet spoke truth to power in her deliverance of many out of their bondage. While the struggle for freedom continues for many and systems of repression still exist, Harriet Tubman lit the lantern of liberty and transformed the lives of countless individuals. This work must continue, even as we reflect on the example of the one who began that work. God desires freedom and fulfillment for all people. Harriet's example continues to be a clarion call until justice rolls down like waters. At the wedding at Cana, Jesus demonstrates the abundance of God. Our task is to make that abundance known to all people as we invite them to accept the invitation to join the feast. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this day from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. And the moving forward question for this Monday, March 10th, is, how can we make God's abundance known to all? The commentary for Tuesday, March 11th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the day of testing in the wilderness. For 15 years, I've considered myself somewhat of a solitary Benedictine. I've studied and read the rule of St. Benedict for monastics many times. This rule gives structure and meaning to my life as I seek to balance work, study, play, and rest. One of the key ideas in the rule, and perhaps what Benedict spends the most time on, is humility. Humility is hard because it too requires balance. Humility asks us not to think too much or too little of ourselves simultaneously. It asks us to consider how we conduct ourselves with others and God. It's one thing to be zealous for God. It is quite another to inflict that zealotry upon others. God wants us to be passionate about our relationship with God and to carry that into the marketplace. However, it is crucial that we do not lose touch with reality and forget that God is God and we are not. And now I'm going to read from this passage today from Hebrews. It is chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus the Apostle and High Priest of our confession was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors put me to the test, though they had seen my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. As in my anger I swore, they will not enter my rest. And the moving forward statement for this Tuesday, March 11th, is to remember and embrace your role in the kingdom of God. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, March 12th, the day on which we commemorate Gregory the Great. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Here's the commentary. I've often pictured this interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus as a film noir piece. Jesus and Nicodemus meet under a street lamp on a foggy night in Jerusalem. With the way Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, we almost expect him to ask, and how are our friends in Moscow? Jesus isn't trying to be cryptic, at least not intentionally. Jesus is trying to tell this man seeking him that he has to start over again. Can any of us imagine being born again in the truest sense of the words, abandoning all we know? And yet, that is what Jesus asks of us. Start over with him. relearn life through him, walk through life with him. When we think about it this way, it isn't so different from being born again, learning how to do life in a way that leads to more life. And now I'm going to read the Gospel of John for today from chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verse 15. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, are you ready to be born again? The commentary for Thursday, March 13th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 9. "So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God." What does the rest of your day look like today? Take a moment to consider all the things to which you've said yes, either explicitly or implicitly. As a practical exercise, list them here or on another sheet of paper. Now, look at that list again. How much of what you've said yes to will give you life? How much of what you've put on your calendar is a deep joy for you? How many of these things have to happen? People are terrible at rest. We think more is more, and I am chief of all sinners. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. If the focus of all our lives is productivity, we may find that the amount we get done over time diminishes. We get tired and run down. God knows this about us. A regular nothing day is an excellent habit to cultivate. For some, it's a stretch that is too deep. But when we stop to ask ourselves what we need to get done today, perhaps a faithful answer is nothing. And now I'm going to read from this passage from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For indeed, the good news came to us just as to them, But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. As in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest, though his works were finished at the foundation of the world. For in one place it speaks about the seventh day as follows, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place it says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains open for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again he sets a certain day, today, saying through David much later, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later about another day. So then a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from his. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is a very simple one. Plan to have a day of nothing. The commentary for Friday, March 14th, begins with a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. Keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. I wonder how often we think of the law as being for our benefit. I suspect we more commonly view the law as an outdated document or a list of requirements we don't understand. There's a more generous response to this, which Deuteronomy explains succinctly in the text, for your own well-being. God wants us to be happy, healthy, and fulfilled. The law is one way God tries to partner with us so we can have those things. Jesus comes to fulfill that law, to embody it, so we can see how it's done. While we may not always follow the law perfectly, even our best attempt yields better results than no attempt at all. And thinking we can do it on our own might be the rub all along. And now I'm going to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today. Circumcise, then, the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. And the moving forward statement for this Friday is to ask God to help you view the law as given for our well-being. The commentary for Saturday, March 15th, begins also with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy, this time chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Daddy, tell me the story of the night I was born. It's her favorite story. She loves to hear about how she was born in a mansion by the sea on the morning before the night of a lunar eclipse. We lived in a 19th century Victorian townhouse in Petoskey, Michigan, that overlooked Little Traverse Bay. So the story is true. The part of the story I've yet to tell her is that when I held her the first time, I said to her, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Giving her the best we can is vital to us. For me, that meant giving her the best start I could. I hope she'll choose to do the same for her children. And now I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 28. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. If you will diligently observe this entire commandment that I am commanding you, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and mightier than yourselves. Every place on which you set foot shall be yours. Your territory shall extend from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the fear and dread of you on all the land on which you set foot, as he promised you. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn away from the way that I am commanding you today, to follow other gods that you have not known. And the moving forward statement for this Saturday, pray for those making a start in their ministries. And as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, we will turn to Sunday, March 16th, the second Sunday of Lent. It begins with a passage from Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. As a child, I was attacked by a mother hen, an occupational hazard that comes from growing up in the country. The offending poultry belonged to my aunt, and the hen made it clear that the chicks belonged to her. As deep as the existential scar is in my psyche, I can only assume the attack was influential in getting me to leave the chicks to the hen. Jesus longs to be more than our friend. Claiming Jesus as Lord means we enter into a protective relationship with him. We put our trust in him, and he guides us and protects us, much like a mother hen. If Jesus fights half as fiercely against the forces that seek to ruin us as that mother hen sought to drive away a curious toddler, I'd say we're in the best of shape. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And the moving forward question for this Sunday, March 16th, is, what forces are pulling you away from Jesus? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time. Thank you.